sexting?
Never. I'm going to be doing it with my feet whilst I'm
with you.
I like this setup because this shows our actual height difference.
Yeah, your knees.
Yeah.
Your knees clutched up.
I look, I'm fucking joking. How much Simpsons do you know?
Very too much. Little.
There's a bit of a really tall guy in a tiny car. I feel like that. I feel massive. Yeah. I feel like the ghost of Christmas Present and you're Scrooge.
Come in and know me better,
come
man.
Come in and know me better, man.
Do you know, in the Muppet Christmas Carol, the ghost of Christmas Present, he ages. They age the puppet every time the camera looks back to him. So when you see him, he gets more and more gray yarns in his hair and stuff like that every time the camera goes back.
It's a good movie.
Great fucking movie.
Have you seen it?
Have you seen it?
The Muppet Christmas Carol? It's a good movie.
Have you seen it?
You should see it if you haven't.
Yeah.
It's really good. It was my favorite Christmas movie for a very, very long time. Only... oh, God. Only lightly superseded by Spirited, even though I fucking hate Ryan Reynolds.
Spirited
but
was good, though.
But Spirited's really good.
It's very good. I agree.
I haven't seen it. Mass Effect. What are we doing
what
here?
What are we doing? Hello, I'm Dylan. I've played one Mass Effect game.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've played Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. And this is Dorkspawn, a game where we play... what?
I was going to finish your sentence, but I didn't.
This is Dorkspawn.
Where?
All the energy's back, baby. Oh.
Where we take turns showing each other a video game that the other one has not played, usually a choices-heavy video game like Dragon Age or Mass Effect. And right now we're playing through the Mass Effect series, which I have never played before.
Mm-hmm. So, last week... last time, not even last week, because we skipped last week. We were the busiest bees that's ever beed. We did Horizon and
the Justicar,
but my internet was bad. So we never actually talked about the Justicar. And then this week we did the next two dossiers. So this baby, this is dossier central right now. We've finished all the dossiers. And I'm excited to inform everyone, MILFs are back.
MILFs are back, baby.
MILFs are back in a huge way. And you're going to fuck them this time. This is our first fuckable MILF. No, it's not our first fuckable MILF, but it's our first fuckable MILF in you can actually have
that
sex
that you
with
can
this girl.
Actually yeah. fuck. Is who is the fuckable MILF?
Samara.
Samara is the fuckable
Samara.
MILF.
Can't have sex with Wynn because she's just too old.
She's 36 years old. A whopping 2 years younger than me. And she...
She's too old to fuck. Stinky and old.
Oh
she's
my god, a walking
webs.
Corpse.
Disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't.
I can't believe Samara is in a MILF category. That's crazy.
She is literally in a MILF category. What do you mean? Do you not think she's MILF adjacent?
Well, no, I just. Yeah, she's MILF adjacent. Yeah.
No, explain your words. What do you have against Samara?
Oh, no, nothing. Nothing.
Against my MILF. I think she's my gambit.
Is that your gambit for this
time?
The
thing is, I don't like Kelly Chambers at all.
And who fucking would?
She's just fucking boring.
Oh my god, she's so fucking boring. Stop talking to me.
Yeah. So I'm going with Samara. The reason why I didn't want to go Samara in the first place is because she's another Asari. And I didn't want to do Asari's again.
Yeah.
But it seems I'm just going to do Liara and then jump to Samara immediately after.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently Shiv Shepherd has a type. It's Asari's. Right. So.
Yeah.
To get Samara, we go to... we go to a place. Oh my god. What's the place called? Ilium.
Ilium.
You go to Ilium.
For Samara. Yes, yes. We go to Ilium. We see our buddy, Liara Tassani.
We do see Liara. She gives me a little smooch as soon as I walk in the door.
Not me, thank God. Oh, goodness.
Awkward.
Awkward. Because she's about to introduce you to your new wife, apparently.
Yeah.
So we're looking for Samara, who is, like, Justicar is apparently, like, a warrior. In the Asari culture, Justicars are, like, the highest kind of law keepers. And we like, have to be careful around them, and we have to be super polite, and we have to be, like, minding our human manners.
Yeah.
We get reminded a lot in this how we are different and we are the aliens, which I really like. It's like, you're the weird one.
Yeah.
Shepherd, you're the weird guy.
Because Ilium isn't in Asari space,
yeah,
but is an Asari-run planet. So
that's it.
Everyone
is
an Asari. Justicars are big in this monastic order. They're like they were related to monks. When I was speaking to someone else, it's right. Like, oh, you humans would probably relate them to monks because they're like big religion. And they are at the top of it. Justicars can kill anyone, and Asari won't say anything about it. That's like a big kind of thing with them, which is fun. And then we go on a little murder mystery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Volus has died.
And we talked to another Volus guy, Pitney Four.
Yes, I believe so.
Yep. Pitney Four, who is like a criminal who is trying to run away from the Justicar that we are looking for. Because he's like, no, they're not going to do an investigation. Justicars will just shoot first and kill you. And then they will, they'll figure out what happened later. They're not interested in bringing you to justice. They're just interested in taking you out.
Yeah.
And it's this guy's business partner that was murdered. And so that's why the Justicar is here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The detective, who's an Asari, is also like, you're like, hey, can we have a hand? Can we help you in this?
Yeah.
And she's like, I tell you what, I don't need help, but I also don't want a Justicar here because she's just going to execute whoever.
Exactly.
And I don't want that to be happening.
Right.
Yeah, sure, yeah. You can help us.
And because she's overstepping in their crime scene, they actually want us to detain her, too.
Yes. You just kind of fight through,
and then you find her. I wrote, oh, she's doing an interrogation. Oh, she's glowy. Oh, she's hot. Oh, she's deadly. That's my... Those are my notes.
So you get her, and she's like, hey, She's like, I need to finish this. It's in my oath. If I oath wise say I'm going to do something, I'm just going to do it. Cause that's what's in the Justicar order.
We watch her straight up murder all the other sisters in this, like in this sort of monk-ish covenant or whatever. But then she like gives this speech about the oath that she's taken. And I'm like, I literally wrote, she's got a real dreamy attitude for such a violent bitch.
Yeah.
She's very, like, she's very committed to her oath. And she wants to catch this fugitive that the Eclipse Sisters, do I have that right?
Yep.
Smuggled off world. And she agrees to cooperate with the cops for one day. Like she's gonna go into custody for one day. We have that much time to find the ship that was smuggling those people off world and stop it. And if we can do that, she will agree not to kill everyone in the entire world. And it's like, I believe you, you can fucking do it. So it's like, we have to literally do that. She'll voluntarily go into custody, even though she is stronger than everyone here. She's stronger than the troops. She's stronger than the cops.
Yeah.
But she's agreeing to do it just to give us a chance.
Yeah. There's a cool line because there is something that Detective Anya says about...
Right.
About her... disobeying orders because she was going to die doing so. And then there was fun interaction because I brought Zaid and Grunt with me. And I say, you are right to disobey orders that walk you into certain death. And Zaid says, we should talk about hazard pay the next time Shepard tells us to walk into certain death. And then Grunt says, funny. Yes.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, it's a fun... They're actually talking to each other
I
now.
I do like
interacting.
That.
And really, in the second half, they do it a lot.
I think I brought Garrus and Grunt with me a lot in like the next couple. Yeah. And I feel like they had good banter.
Yeah, they're chatting around.
Yeah.
She has been a Justicar longer than 3 human lifespans, about 400 years. She said she's been a Justicar.
Yeah.
300, 400 years. She also says, whoever took that oath originally is dead. Meaning her, like she has died.
No longer the person you're 400 years old, you're not that person.
I have the two very important notes here, which is sexy MILF alien can finally fuck a MILF.
Can finally fuck a MILF.
Which is fun. Companions have a lot of things to say. The guy at the beginning, the business partner, he turns out he lied to us. He's selling biotic.
Yeah.
Like these things that like helps increase biotic stuff.
Yeah.
And then we have a fun little fight where there's like these little gas things exploding and we can't stand too long in it, else our shields explode.
Yeah. Big Dragon Age 2 vibes.
Big Dragon Age 2
reminded
vibes.
Me of the Meryl fight in the Alienage.
Oh, sure. Yeah. We meet the thing. We solve the crime. She decides to join us, but she doesn't... she's after a specific shift called... A specific ship called the AML Demeter.
Mm-hmm.
She says that she is... Her only goal is to find that ship and kill this one specific person.
Yeah.
That she's been hunting for 400 years. But then... And she decides to swear herself into our service by making an oath that she's going to join us until our job is done. And says a lot of really cool shit. She says, your morals are my morals, which I love that phrase. And she says, if you go too far, like, if you do things that I don't like, when my oath is done, I will find
you
and
kill you. And I fucking believe her about everything. Nothing has ever been so fucked up as, like, yeah, I'll go into police custody. They can't hold me.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
And I'll give you 24 hours.
No, it's fucking... It's awesome. I love it. I love it deeply. Then, after that, I helped Tally. Did you help Tally?
I for sure helped Tally. Well, first, I realized I made a fucking big mistake, and I went back to the Citadel because I needed to watch Elcor Hamlet.
Yay!
Oh, my God. All I did on the Citadel last time was I got the thing that gave me... What's her name?
Kasumi.
Yeah.
The
Kasumi's ad, and then I was basically off.
Yeah.
And I left.
Yeah.
Went back to the Citadel to look around for the ad, and I didn't realize it's like a bunch of ads. It's like a bunch of snippets that you can get.
Yeah.
Of the whole, with the whole thing. And Elcor Hamlet is, it. That's what we should be doing. We should be putting that on. It's so good. Like, because you can, instead of just like making, all right, so here's the thing about the Elcor interpretation of Hamlet.
Yeah.
Is that Hamlet is like inherently a play where the motivations of Hamlet have always been a little bit unclear, especially with regard to Hamlet's sanity and also like with regard to like the political intrigue of Hamlet's family, his mom in particular, his dad as well. And so to have the Elcor state intent before each line of dialogue, what's happening is the Elcor are telling you their interpretation out loud instead of showing you. They're just telling you what they interpret Hamlet to mean and what it to be about. And I think we should do it. I think we should do it. I think we should do Hamlet that way. And I think it's very funny. And also I think maybe foreshadowing for the Veilguard.
Oh my god. There's no fucking way. You go on this whole rant about Hamlet and you manage to work it back around as to how the Veilguard sucks?
Yes.
That's a professional
right there. I can do it at any time.
That's a professional
right
there.
You give me one point in time, I'll link it to all. I'll do 6 degrees to Kevin Bacon, but it'll be how something leads to the Veilguard being a piece of shit. I'll get there.
Holy shit.
I'll do it.
Fucking sociopath.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry about that. Tali. Our old friend Tali.
Our old friend Tali is here.
Our old friend Tali. Well, we're headed to Haystrom to find Tali, which is like it's like just completely overrun with Geth. There's Geth all the fuck over here fighting through them. We find Tali's journal, which is like it's proof that she's here.
She's alive.
And then we find her and she's like super glad to see us, but then she's like, I can't go anywhere with you until I fuck up all these Geth. We didn't encounter this person, but we knew about Tali having a squad in like the early part of this game.
Yeah.
And we find that like there's one guy left living in her squad on this planet, and he is like deeply injured, and his like suit is torn and he's like gonna die, and he did all this like just trying to get to Tali and try to save her, and this is I think the best I've done at an interrupt.
Nice.
Where I was like, no, my girl needs you to stay alive, because he's willing to like jump out and like take bullets for Tali. And I'm like, no, not happening.
Mm.
By the way, this is the first of many Ani breakthroughs that we had. First of many, I think first of two in this two thing. But Ani is like, no, you're gonna survive. I'm not putting Tali in the position that I'm in. Where I've lost my squad. Like, Tali's not going to lose everybody. So we keep him protected undercover as we fight. And then, at the end of the fight, when we're talking to Tali, he stumbles in, like, super injured and shit. But he's fine. He's alive.
Yeah, he's alive.
And he made it. We saved him.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. This planet's really fun because it's like the sun is exploding.
Yeah.
And it's super hot, so you can't be like in direct sunlight, because then your shields die, adds this fun dynamic into the fight that I think is really
cool. You gotta hide.
Yeah. But that's also kind of why Tali's here, because she keeps saying, well, the sun shouldn't be exploding. It's way too young to do that.
Yeah.
Why is it doing this? So right. She kind of, still not necessarily on a pilgrimage, but still kind of, like, this is kind of
right,
information that
she's...
fulfill
it, technically.
Yeah. And,
but,
but this is stuff that she's doing to bring back. Like, she's still trying to find all this info.
Yeah. Tali hates Cerberus as much as Ani does, which is great. They're like, Cerberus is responsible for destroying like at least a couple ships in her fleet.
Yeah,
flotilla is the word. Yeah. And Tali has not forgotten that. And I got to be like, finally, fuck Cerberus.
Everyone
Thank
is
so
too
much.
Into them.
Way too fucking into them.
Speaking of, after I got Tali and I went back, I spoke to Jack. Jack has found, I have everyone's personal mission now.
I do also have everyone's
Unfortunately,
mission.
I wasn't able to fulfill any of them.
I know, I thought I would be able to, but...
Yeah, this game is interesting because it forces you into things in a way that's fine. It's just a little, it's like, damn, I thought I had more time. Jack was raised by Cerberus, and she's going back to she wants to go back to the facility that raised her, and she's gonna blow it up. That's her idea.
Because she fucking rules.
Yeah,
because
she's the fucking coolest.
She's the
coolest woman in the world. Did the Master Thief mission. We talked about that last time. It's just very good.
We did.
So.
Ha!
We've had predictions.
Okay.
About who you would like the most in terms of the companions.
Yeah.
And Thane is it. This is such a you-coded guy.
Interesting.
We go to fight Thane. An assassin. He's going to assassinate this shareholder CEO lady.
Mm-hmm.
Hyper evil. You go.
Diplomat. Right.
Diplomat.
Yeah. Nissana Dantios. Whose sister I think we killed.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, in Mass Effect 1.
Love that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Huge.
Whoop.
Woo.
Ooh. We have to go back to Liara again. Liara gives us some information. Liara gives us some information. She really sends us to another woman named Serena. Who knows where the Thane is. Serena's pretty cool. I cannot believe how cool she is for the fact that she's in this for approximately 8 seconds. She knows where Thane is. I feel like I heard this wrong, but maybe I didn't. The Dancing Towers, is that right?
Possibly.
Yeah. Anyway, cool design on the Dancing Towers, or whatever they are. We're, like, flying through the city. We get, like, a good, like, really good picture of, like, the flying car situation, which
I really fucking love. Actually, I'm so into it.
And she is like, you can't get in without my help. I will drop you in on here. And she drives us and drops us at the entrance, like, halfway up the tower so that we can just jump in. And then she's gone. And immediately we see these guards, shooting. So we see these guards shooting these Salarians who are running away frantic. They've got those like bot hounds that I know have a name. And they immediately see us. They immediately turn on us and the Salarians like run away, like getting shot at and shit. We fight our way through. And we find a dying Salarian who explains, like, gives us a little bit of the backstory of what is happening here. And there is another killing it with the interrupts.
Yeah.
Killing it with the interrupts to save his life by, like, chucking a bunch of Medi Packs at him. Medi Gel. Medi.
Yeah.
You know what I meant. We are fighting all through this building. It's, like, the same kinds of... I mean, the fights are not bad, but it's just, like, kind of endless enemies. And then we find... this is a big moment. So we find, like, huddled up, like, in a room, like, locked off, we find some Salarians that have hidden here and are scared and are, like, just keeping themselves alive. Yeah. And I had to think. I had to pause and think because people hiding to survive themselves has traditionally been a thing that Ani has been, like... Fuck you cowards. Like, get out there and fight so that you're, you should not be focused on your own survival. I think because of what happened where Ani was forced to survive against her will, she is now becoming slightly more sympathetic. And so instead she chose to comfort them because I had the choice to be like, fuck you guys. Yeah. And I comfort them. We keep going through this fucking nightmare building. A cool little thing. Oh, you go. You got something?
No.
Okay. Sorry. I feel like I'm talking a lot.
No, I like
this. Okay. Cool thing that I like. At one point we find an elevator. And it's, like, the next, like, exit out.
Oh, this is a...
This is like cool. And so we have to, like, summon the elevator down, and then we, like, know that it's going to come down full of enemies. So we go and hide and duck for cover. And then when the elevator doors bing, it's like, oh, we're going to fucking...
I pulled a counter on them because, again, I'm a vanguard. I know I talk about this all the time. Because my thing is teleporting.
Yes.
In.
Yeah.
Literally, the second the frame of the door opened, I teleported into the room and I was shooting them all. And I unloaded my shotgun on them. And I was like, that's the shepherd that people tell stories about. Oh, shepherd's here? We're going to fucking leave, actually. Because she's going to fucking kill us.
Eventually, we find a surviving Salarian who, like, is skittish and whatnot and, like, pulls a gun on me and is like, I'm going to shoot you. Like, don't come any closer. And I was... There was genuinely an interrupt to shoot him.
Yeah.
And I missed it. I was going to take it.
Whoa.
And I missed it. And I thought about... I thought about redoing it.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, actually, I think that's fine. Because then this guy was just, like, scared.
And he was going to fight. That's a big...
He was going to fight. Incredibly. And then we finally get to... Go.
Whilst we're speaking to these Salarians...
Yes.
They say that this... They're like, oh, we didn't put ourselves in here and lock the door... Someone else did it.
Right.
And then you pretty quickly are like, oh, wait, the assassin is locking the people who aren't the target into rooms so that they're safe from things. It's like, got a bit of an assassin with a heart here. We got an assassin saving people.
Yeah.
There's also a bit when you get up on the elevator, there's a guy who's like pacing around and he's talking on comms being like, I don't fucking care. Like, we can't hear anyone. It's fine. My team is going to be great. And then you sneak up behind him and then you have a little conversation.
Yeah.
I pushed him out the window. Did you push him out the window?
No, I did not push him out the window.
Yeah. There's a negative interrupt where as he's talking, you can push him out the window. And I did. He's a bad guy. He wasn't a Salarian. He's a bad dude.
You're probably right.
He was wearing Eclipse armor. Oops. Gonna shoot him anyway. Anyway.
Who can tell whose armor is whose anyway?
Who can tell? Armor's so clunky.
Hey, dorks. Do you like mechs? Hope punk sci-fi? Tabletop role-playing games?
Of course you do. They're three of the best
things out there. If you want all these things in your life, then you have to pre-order The Broken Steps, the second setting guide for the Hopepunk sci-fi TTRPG Dreams and Machines, coming late 2025.
Set in a world in the far future, cut off from Earth, where inhabitants balance on a razor's edge, sleeping mechs decorate the landscape, and wakers, waking mechs that kill, sow the seeds of technological distrust. The Broken Steps give a detailed overview of the Surienta Simio region, including unique and exciting locations, new talents, equipments, expanded rules for mounts and vehicles, and... Robin, tell them the best part.
Settlement building rules, so you can create unique, customizable communities. Pre-order The Broken Steps now, and you can get 10% off of Dreams and Machines Player's Guide and the Dreams and Machines Game Master's Guide with the code DREAMS10.
Sup, dorks?
Listen, we know you. We know you have 100 original characters floating around in your head, and you're just waiting to talk about them, but no one ever asks.
Well, what if you could have one of your favorite fictional guys on your keys?
That's right! Hero Forge is adding the ability to have your Hero Forge character created onto acrylic keychains. They'll be the same scale as Hero Forge standees, meaning there will be a perfect match for your on-table miniature.
So head on over to Hero Forge to get your characters on keychains and have everyone asking you, oh, who's that cool little guy?
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon. Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys.
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, this bar's next.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To death metal Viking cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude world. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's Snake Eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake Eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember,
if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck.
Then we get into the room.
We confront Nisana.
Yeah.
And as we're confronting Nisana, Thane shows up. It's, you know, it's truly not unlike, God, kill me. The Justicar, in a way, because as we've fought through all these enemies, we've done all this shit, we finally confront, you know, Nisana, the whatever, and Thane shows up, this Guillermo del Toro fishman. this fucking Guillermo del Toro monster assassinates all of Nisana's men and her without our input whatsoever. And then is basically like, oh, I let you do all that just to keep you out of my way.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you...
To make you earn finding me.
Yeah.
I just let you do it.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to find me, you'd kill all those people. And you did.
And you did. Great.
But specifically, after he shoots her, he starts praying. And then you're like, it's a bit late for that. Does she really deserve it? And he's like, this is not for her, this is for me.
Me. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's also a Drell, which is a new alien.
New thing.
New things that we haven't seen yet.
Hot.
He's hot. He's fucking cool as shit.
Mm-hmm.
I love Thane.
He's on his lap. Hello. Vinny and Valette. Come in here.
Hold on. Hold on. Wait. No, I want you to know what this fucking goblin man looks like.
Oh, I love Thane.
Did you hear me say that Guillermo del Toro fish man, motherfucker?
I've been sitting outside. I've been listening to my favorite podcast live.
What are your thoughts on Thane?
God, I love that man. I think he's so fucking cool. I mean, his voice is so cool.
His voice is good.
He's just a hot alien man. I love that he's like a religious assassin. That shit is hot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's an assassin trying to do his last job.
His last job.
He wanted that job in the tower to be the last one, and then was like, all right, I guess I'll join you.
He drops the trailer line. He drops like, that's a suicide mission. Nobody comes back from the
Omega 4 relay.
Nobody comes back from the Omega 4 relay. That's a suicide mission. Yeah. He drops the trailer line.
He also says that he's dying as well.
He's a dying man.
He's got a terminal illness. And this is why he wanted to, this is going to be his last job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
God.
I know.
What a perfect fucking character.
He's good.
I just think he's just like he's every cool thing I think you could put into a guy, and then they make him, and for some reason he's not like super cringy. Instead, he's like so hot. He's so hot. And he's a biotic and a long-range character. His kit is really fun. I liked having him on my team.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
He's fucking sick.
No, he's fucking hot. He's really cool. He's genuinely hot.
I love that guy. I love that guy so much.
And then
he's fucking sick.
Jacob is like a fucking bitch about it.
Oh, Jacob's a dick.
Jacob, you wet nap. You fucking wet nap of a person.
The biggest loser on the ship. This ship has 10 out of 10 winners, except for Jacob, who just fucking sucks.
Well, and... what the fuck is her name?
Miranda?
Yeah.
Miranda is cool. Oh, you don't like Miranda? Give over. She's cool.
I thought you were team Miranda for a little bit there. Am I wrong about that?
No, fuck Miranda. Because she's too into Cerberus.
Yeah.
You just gotta teach her, though.
She's already drunk the fucking Kool-Aid about Cerberus. Fuck you. I don't trust her. Mm. No. Mm. Jacob, though, wet nap, motherfucker.
Jacob sucks.
That's unforgivable. Miranda, good character, but I hate her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I genuinely forget Jacob exists.
Same.
Oh,
every time
I think
back on Mass Effect 2, I go,
the thing is he could be cool. What's so funny about that is that I also forgot he exists. The thing is that the game keeps forcing him upon me. I don't have to go find him and talk to him. He just showed up to be like, hey, here are my fucking opinions. they're stupid, but you're gonna listen to him.
Yeah Dumby. But yes, but then, did you do anything after that?
No, because I wanted to do... I got everybody's personal mission, and I wanted to do Garrus's loyalty mission. And apparently,
I can't. Then the fucking elusive man is like, I have something for you, and then we can't do anything
You have to meet me.
But, I did speak to... So, we have everyone's loyalty missions.
Yes. Now.
Morden wants to go fix... One of his scientists who perfected the Genophage is trapped on T'Chunka, which is the Krogan planet.
Yeah.
And he's like, I need to go get him out. Because that sucks for me.
Yes.
We've got... Grunt is having puberty and needs to go get help. bless our beautiful...
Oh, I love Grunt. Oh, my beautiful son. I forgot that's his loyalty mission is like, I'm gonna prove that I'm a man.
I gotta prove that I'm a man. I gotta fight. He's gotta prove who he is. He's got this, like... He's having a crisis of identity, guys.
Yeah.
He doesn't know who he is.
Yeah, and we're going to help him out.
We're going to help him.
Garrus has his old team who...
Garrus has his old team who was betrayed. His squad was killed. He was betrayed. Garrus tells me this like he's at fault.
Yeah.
And I can't stand to hear my man talk about himself that way. He talks about himself. He's like, I got my squad killed. And I'm like, and then I'm like, go on. And he's like, well, I was betrayed. And I was like, oh, so you didn't fucking get them killed.
Yeah.
You were betrayed and that got them killed. Sidonis, a Turian, who's still out there and he doesn't know where they is. And he is, and Garrus is, again, having the right reaction to being a soul survivor. He's like, I can't, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
I have to avenge my squad mates. And Ani is like, that's why I'm going to sit on your face. That's why, baby. It's that right there.
Jack, Cerberus, grew up in Cerberus City. He's going to blow up Cerberus City. Jacob... God bless him. His dad has appeared.
Daddy issues
appeared after years. Miranda's sister, a twin sister, is in trouble, and she's got to go help her.
Yeah.
Then fucking Samara's one, which is new one. Did you get Samara's loyalty?
Oh, did I get Samara's?
Do you want to know Samara's?
Just tell me.
So.
Because I'll get it in, like, you know.
Yeah. So Samara finds the person that she's been hunting for all these 400 years. They are a type of Asari who, when they meld, when they have sex with you, when they meld, they overload the other person's neurons and they die immediately.
They're a succubus, like, right?
Yeah,
essentially. Okay, I did get,
And then, and Samara's like, this is, like, I literally became a Justicar to kill this person. I need to hunt them. I've been hunting them for years. I had a really happy life, and then this person turned up, and I needed to... I just knew I needed to dedicate my entire life to killing them. It's been 400 years since I've been doing that. And then as you're leaving, she's like, oh, it's also my daughter.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
God, I love it.
Fascinating.
400-year age gap. How are you feeling about that?
With me?
Yeah, because you're going to fuck...
I'm going to fuck the mother, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean... Samara's older than 400 years.
Right. Oh.
Yeah, so it's like an
800-year age gap. I'm here for it. You're in.
That's experience,
baby.
That's
experience,
you don't get to be a MILF and live under 800 years.
I actually don't know any MILFs under 800 years old.
I don't know any MILFs under 800.
You don't know what a woman is capable of until she hits 600, at least. And then, watch out. It's the exact opposite to Dragon Age, where they were like, oh, this 26-year-old woman is too old to have sex with. And is basically a walking corpse.
But this
800-year-old woman is
just
prime.
In her prime.
She's just ready prime. To fuck you. You got it.
There was a real hot second where I, because unfortunately I've made Shiva lesbian, because I was like, maybe I make
unfortunately.
Her...
Calm down.
Because
homophobia.
I kind of want to fuck the assassin. I kind of want to fuck Thane. I've not fucked Thane before.
I haven't either.
You have?
Oh? You crawled in the room like a gremlin.
I played a male shepherd.
Right.
When I played male shep. You can't fuck Thane.
Yeah.
But I really was like...
Yeah.
I'll get him at some point. Why I oughta.
These games, man. We've talked about this. I'm glad that DA2 did it. I think it was fun for them to do the everyone's bi kind of thing. I'm not recognizing it in Veilguard. But I understand, like, I personally want characters to have thought put into what their sexuality is. I think that that's more interesting. I think that's better writing. I think it gives us stories that are interesting. Like, I think Dorian Pavis' story in Inquisition is one of the most interesting stories in the entire game. And it's because he's written as an explicitly gay character by a gay writer with, like, a hardship of homophobia in his backstory. And that makes him, like, unique and interesting.
Yeah.
This is, it is also needed to be said that, like, the validity of doing a make everyone bisexual is a decent way to avoid the fact that these kind of, like writing by committee decisions where people make the wrong choice about what sexuality people are.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, Fishman Assassin would not be heterosexual? What does that even mean to him?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
What does heterosexual even mean to Fishman? What do you mean he only sleeps with human men? That's crazy. Guillermo del Toro, who designed him, would never have made that man straight.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I sometimes forgive the everybody is bi thing, because it does circumvent the poor decision making.
It's tough. Being a lesbian in Mass Effect is difficult.
It's genuinely rough out you're it. Correct.
Because Miranda is bi.
I can't believe Jack
Tally
is
bi.
I can't
Jack is canonically pan, which is what sucks about it, is that she is.
Jack is not straight.
Wait, really?
Canonically is pan.
But Will only...
It was encoding, but then Fox got their dead little paws on it.
Mm-hmm.
They turned it off.
Yep.
It
Same off. Thing with but Solas comics, Dragon Age. Solas is bisexual, canonically.
Oh.
Yeah. In Dragon Age. But he can only romance a female elf character in Inquisition.
Yeah.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah. Dreadful.
Dreadful.
Dreadful. Get your shit together.
There's a lot of lesbian options. There's, like, three solely gay options in the entirety of Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Male Shep is struggling more than Fem Shep is, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
In terms of being gay.
Yeah. Being gay.
There is one exclusively gay male character in three, right?
In three. And it's a weird choice.
It is a weird choice. Who plays him? Is it Freddie Prinze Jr.?
No fucking way.
Is it?
No. It's not Freddie Prinze Jr. It's
because he plays Iron Bull in Dragon Age 3.
It's someone famous. Let me check.
It'd be a little problematic if Freddie Prinze Jr. played this man.
Yeah. Played the yeah.
That is funny. Oh, I'm very curious. I'm so glad to see Keith David still on the cast list.
It's not Cortez, right?
It is, yeah.
It's Cortez.
I'm pretty sure. It's
Lieutenant Cortez. Steve Cortez. Is it? I swear this guy was a guy, though.
I'm pretty sure he... No, he's not... I don't know.
I'm so sure he was a known guy. I'm so sorry. I need to do this. I need to figure this out. Everyone gather round. Avert your eyes.
Oh, someone I'm sorry. If I see the cast list, what will happen to me?
Well, there is shit here, which is spoilery.
Oh my God, do you know what I think sometimes about how pretty so many voice actors are? You're not seen. You're not for the public to see, but you're so pretty.
Oh, no. It's Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, no. Vega's not he's not gay.
Not canonically gay. It's just another character, and Freddie Prinze Jr. plays him.
Vega's not gay.
He's the gay man.
No fucking way is he. I could assume.
Oh my God, it's Freddie Prinze Jr.
Freddie Prinze Jr. I fucking
can't wait for you to meet Vega, by the way.
Hey, Freddie Prinze Jr., if you're listening to this, fuck you. I'll tell you this right now.
Fuck your ass.
Fuck you.
How did he get two Mass Effect? How did he get two BioWare roles?
You know, genuinely, he does a great job as Iron Bull. It's actually crazy. He's such a chameleon.
He's just looking up romances.
But
I'm going into the romance, yeah. Man, this is a very interesting thing for our fucking
No, this is great content.
This is great content, me looking at my phone.
We will We can cut out the silences.
There's a few characters I haven't heard your opinion, though.
Okay, talk.
Well, Grunt.
Oh, I love him.
You love Grunt.
I love Grunt. Mm-hmm. Oh, my sweet baby. He's going through a crisis of identity, and yeah. I am obsessed with that.
Oh, you're right. James Vega isn't romanceable. It is Cortez.
It is Cortez.
Who the fuck is Cortez?
You're asking me.
Oh.
Hey, listeners, I want to say that if you've already commented correcting us on that, I will kill you with my bare...
comment. Shut up.
I'll kill you with my
episode
bare hands.
Before you fucking comment. Oh, my
I'll
God.
Kill you. I won't. I won't. I would never. I love you. I love you.
Also, I was right.
Yeah, you were. Vidiga was right.
Yeah.
Oh, Vidiga's right. And they're saying, oh, Vidiga should make this podcast. And you know what? Vidiga's shaking their head very violently because he knows he doesn't want to be on a podcast.
Make a podcast?
Yeah. You don't want to make a podcast. You just want to kind of occasionally turn up to some.
Yeah, that's it. keep sitting on your bed and listening.
Oh, by the way, we haven't given the context to this. Robin is in person here
what?
In New York. We haven't said that for the audio listeners.
Well, we have said, oh, the energy's back, babe. Oh, I guess
it's no, we
not.
Haven't explained that you're here in New York where you're meant to be.
Yeah.
And you're sitting next to me. And Vidiga, our other roommate, has come in, who we've learned now, by the way, sometimes when I'm recording, even when Robin's not here in person, is sitting on my bed outside of my office listening to one half of the episode recordings just to hear a little smidge of Mass Effect.
I'll pass the room. I'll pass down this room because our rooms are next to each other, and like... I'll be like, ooh, Dylan's talking about Omega. Let's fucking, I need to know. Oh my God, what does he think about Arya?
Love Arya. Big Arya guy.
Because you didn't actually meet Arya last time, right?
No,
I have, but the time you were sitting on the bed, I hadn't.
Yeah.
And then the next time I had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're in person. That explains the fact that we can have a third party walk in and interrupt us.
Yeah, sorry,
everyone. No.
If you apologize again, I'll kill you with my bare hands. You know I can do it.
Wait, did you already talk about hopping onto the flotilla to find Tali?
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
To...
No. Okay. Nope. Never mind.
We found Tali.
We found Tali.
Yeah. But we haven't done Tali's loyalty mission.
Oh, no.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. You're fine.
Oh my God.
I was like, you're just stupid, but we found Tali. We just talked about it. We found her.
We just did it.
Yeah. We found her. Of course we did.
I just really like the Lucorian society. I think just the Lucorian
Me too.
Is one of the most fascinating things in this entire
thing. It's
really the
good.
Flotillas, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome.
And
that is cool that we get to see
stuff.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Babe, you've never done anything wrong in your life.
Never done anything wrong in your life.
In your whole life, babe. There you go.
So. We've done the dossiers.
What are we doing next?
Well, we've done the dossiers.
Oh, we've done the dossiers.
Who's your favorite? Who's your favorite, companion in 2? That's not Garrus.
That's not Garrus?
Yes, come on.
Okay. That's not Garrus. Because I will say... Despite all of the speculation, Garrus is still my favorite.
Must have been right a little bit about Thane.
Oh, Thane is second best.
Did Thane give you any second thoughts at all?
Here's what I'll say.
We got it. We knew it.
Calm down. Calm down. If Garrus Vakarian died tragically... from some sort of tragic non-communicable disease or in battle saving my life, I would mourn for first a fortnight in entirety. I would be sequestered.
Yeah.
There would be no missions. I would not visit the Citadel. I would not see Elcor Hamlet. I would only dress in black and I would only say mournful statements. For another 6 months, I would be in tribute to him. I would think about him. I would give I would speak to Joker daily and tell anecdotes. We would reminisce about the old times. I would make sure that the rest of my squad and I had time to think and to ruminate and to... I'm mourning my husband. Could you just be a little more... Could you be a little more present in the moment?
Sure.
I'm sorry. And I would spend months just dedicated to thinking about him and the life that we had and the loss that is his absence. At the end of a year, I would commemorate the night of the loss. I would have a great celebration. It would be both equal parts mourning and celebration of all of the great that he's done and all of the great that he's caused us to do as as a squad, and also to just mourn again. And about 3 weeks after that, I would fuck Thane. I would fuck Thane like crazy. I would fuck Thane so fucking hard. I don't even know. Does he have gills? I'd get in there. I could find my way. I could learn to breathe underwater. I would do it. I would do it for him, for my fucking guy.
The shape of water all over that guy.
Oh, I
was going to be proud of you.
I would learn the shape of water and I would fuck it. Yeah, I would do it. I would get in there. And
love.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does a little bit.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank
Good,
you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have an interesting thing because last week, we couldn't do the final dossier.
Yeah.
We could do the first dossier. So then this week we did the last two, and then Arrival is what it was originally called, but we didn't do Arrival this week. So for next week,
yes.
Do we want to do Arrival and Lair of the Shadow Broker?
Yes.
Lair of the Shadow Broker is pretty long, isn't it?
It's pretty long.
Oh.
It's a couple hours?
Yes, I think the longest DLC.
Okay,
for
so
sure.
What's the other option?
Is we do Arrival next week, just Arrival, and then we can also do some loyalties.
We can do loyalties? Oh, that's the option. That's what I want. Yes, because I want to do loyalties.
Yeah, Arrival's
okay.
pretty short.
Arrival and loyalties.
And some loyalties.
That's what
now,
I want.
We're just going to do some of them. Just going to... We're not... Do you want to...
I won't do all of them, probably, because I won't get to all of them, but I will do...
I definitely won't have time to do
I won't, but I will do several, because I'm locked and loaded and I'm ready.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah.
So we're going to do Arrival. We're going to do this next mission.
Yeah.
Arrival, and then some loyalties, and we'll talk about it.
Fuck yeah.
Sick!
Sick!
What?
The collectors are like a common enemy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
The collectors are the enemy.
They are the enemy. I'm fritzing so hard. I'm like, God damn, I hope I'm not going to spoil something.
Yeah.
No, you're so good.
What are the collectors as an enemy?
They suck.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think they're cool.
I think they're cool as shit. I really love the collectors. I think that the evolution of the Geth being the lead in the first to the collectors being now is a great, like, 1-2, like,
yeah.
Oh, these guys are
escalation.
Worse.
Yeah.
Because the Geth, at least, you had, like, well, I mean... How bad could, like, are they really, like, they are, like, mostly AI and through this neural network that's being corrupted? And also, they are basically just going all against the Quarians. Like, that's kind of the point of them.
Yeah.
But then the collectors are just kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Like,
they're
just
harvesting
and collecting people. And you're assuming direct control.
I know, yeah. I was like, how do you like the...
Dylan doesn't care much for it. I was really excited about assuming direct control.
Oh, come on, Dylan. Classic line! Assuming direct control!
Assuming direct control!
Assuming direct control.
Strong yeah, direct and then you control. Go, oh shit,
oh,
what
shit.
Are these are about to get real fucking hard.
Yeah,
no, it sucks.
Yeah.
I hate them.
Yeah.
But I like them.
But you like
them. I like them.
You
yeah,
like
yeah.
them, but you hate them.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So what do you think about weird bug guys? Is really what
No. No, I'm the weird bug guy.
Because Dylan really wants to
fuck the two, the one insect boy and the frog lizard man. So yeah, yeah. Dylan is anti-insect pretty hard.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What? I've never heard you make that sound what before. The That's fuck? Fucking crazy. Wow.
Well.
That was going on bug mode.
I went bug mode for a second. Sorry, I just had to cricket my little cricket legs together and have a moment. I don't want to. It's just that I don't like them because they're skittering about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The enemies are skittering, and I don't like that. Garrus, there's no skittering with Garrus that man.
Skitter.
That's a confident man. That's a confident
Thane
man.
Skitters.
Thane.
Saunters.
There's no skittering Skulks. There.
Skulks. Maybe.
Hot. Yeah. Thane skulks and swaggers, and that is good shit.
Yeah.
No skittering. It's the skittering. It's gang, it's the skittering that gets me.
Good.
Please.
Good. Well.
Yeah, sign off time.
When do you want to next record Dorkspawn?
Could you give me a minute? I'm working on some calibrations at the moment.
Wow!
Hey, buddy, if you listen to the podcast, you'd know that was our sign-off.
Damn it.